Friend to Friend, Callings and Prophets, from an interview with Elder Stephen A. West of the 70, currently serving in the North America Northwest Area Presidency, by Colleen Ricks Adams. The Mouths of the Prophets Shall Not Fail, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 58, Verse 8. I learned at an early age about service in the church. One of my memorable church experiences took place shortly after I graduated from primary. One day, my parents told me that Brother Jim Barton, the Deacon's Quorum Advisor, had called and wanted to meet with me at our home. No one had ever made an appointment with me before, so I was quite excited and a little nervous. When Brother Barton arrived at our home, he sat down with my whole family, which included my parents, my younger brother, and me. He talked about the importance of church callings and explained to my family about my new calling as the president of the Deacon's Quorum. He asked my parents and my brother if they could support me in that calling. They said that they would. We talked about the importance of service and of church callings and the responsibilities I would have as president of my quorum. Brother Barton testified that the Lord had called me, and he outlined the keys that I would hold in this new calling. His visit took about an hour, and it made a huge impression on me. I was deeply impressed by the importance of church callings, of any church calling. I was also impressed that an adult would take the time and make the effort to help someone so young understand. That one experience set the tone for every church calling that followed. It also set a pattern for me, as I have extended church callings to others. There is no small church calling, and the Lord needs us to do our part and do it as well as we can, to share the gospel with others, and to help the church run smoothly. When I was about 14 years old, the church celebrated the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Sunday School. I was one of 500 Sunday School students invited to sing in a choir for the Sunday School Conference, which was held in the Tabernacle as part of General Conference in April 1949. President George Albert Smith, president of the church during that conference, showed the congregation a time capsule dealing with the event and containing items related to the history of the Sunday School. It contained a form of phonograph record made in the 1940s. During the meeting, it was announced that the box would be opened in 50 years. I remember as a boy in the choir in that meeting thinking how I would love to be in attendance when that box was opened 50 years later. In 1999, I was in Salt Lake City, Utah for General Conference. During the training for the general authorities, we were invited to attend a meeting at which that box was to be opened for the first time after 50 years of being sealed. It was exciting as a boy and as a man to have been part of those two milestones in the history of the Sunday School. One of the lessons all the boys were taught in primary in those days was about Creed Haymond, a young Latter-day Saint who was captain of the University of Pennsylvania track team. The night before a championship meet, his coach had told him to drink a glass of wine to avoid becoming stale from overtraining. Brother Haymond refused. He had long ago promised his mother that he would never disobey the word of wisdom. The coach insisted, but Creed Haymond stood firm. The rest of the team drank the wine and became violently ill, but Creed went on to win three events, setting a new world record in one of them. A few years later, when I was a teacher in the Aaronic priesthood, our family moved to a different area. I was called to be what we now know as a home teacher to Brother Haymond, my hero from primary days. I asked if he could tell me all about the story of his racing experience. It was very exciting to be able to hear from him in person about the event which had been such an inspiration to me earlier. In speaking of heroes, I have been greatly blessed in my lifetime to be in church services where each of the prophets since Heber J. Grant spoke. I grew up in Salt Lake City, and President Grant spoke in our ward. I remember him talking about his desires to play baseball better, write better, and sing better. He talked about how hard those three things were for him and how he practiced to become better at them. I was about 8 years old at the time, and I wasn't a very good baseball player. I didn't write very well either. And although I loved to sing, especially the primary songs, I didn't sing very well. So I related to President Grant, and his story gave me hope that I could do better. Throughout our lives, prophets give us direction and counsel that show us how to live. They are aware of the world we live in and all the challenges we face. They know our struggles and our trials. They let us know what we should be doing. The prophet can help us know how to successfully meet the challenges we face and how to be happy and feel peaceful. If we follow the prophet, we will never be led astray, and we will be able to return to our Heavenly Father. End of Friend to Friend, Callings and Prophets, from an interview with Elder Stephen A. West of the 70 by Colleen Ricks Adams. Unexpected Answer by Allison L. Randall, based on the life history of Hester Neal Harris, the author's grandmother. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I stood on the step of the train and hugged my father goodbye. "Have a nice time in Wales, Hetty," he said. "I will," I answered, smiling. The spring of 1910 was one I would never forget. I had been baptized a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints just a short time before, and now I was going on a trip all alone from Bristol, England, to Wales to visit my Aunt Nell. "Hetty," Father caught my hand, "don't forget to say your prayers." I squeezed his hand. "I won't, Father." But as I turned to go, I added under my breath, "I hope." I had a hard time remembering to say my prayers at night. Before the missionaries visited our home, I had sometimes said a little prayer before going to sleep that started, "Now I lay me down to sleep." But the missionaries taught us that prayer was actually talking to Heavenly Father. I wasn't used to that, and I wasn't always sure I had anything important to tell him. But at Aunt Nell's house, there would be lots to tell him. I didn't think that I'd forget there. That night, I didn't forget. I thanked Heavenly Father that the train hadn't derailed and that Aunt Nell had been there to meet me. I thanked him for the lovely green Welsh hills and for the pastures filled with sheep. The next night was different, though. I spent all day exploring the hills with Aunt Nell. I was so tired at the end of the day that I fell into bed and went right to sleep. "Oh, dear," I thought the next morning, "I forgot to say my prayers. Well, I'll say them tonight." But we spent all day visiting Aunt Nell's relatives in the nearby village, and the same thing happened that night and the next. The next morning, Aunt Nell surprised me. "Hetty," she said, "how would you like to go into the village by yourself today and buy something for me?" "I'd love to." She gave me some money and told me where to find what she needed. Then she said, "Now remember, don't stay too long. A fog often comes in from the sea in the late afternoon. If that happens, you might not be able to find your way home." I told her that I'd be careful. Then I skipped off. I had to go over a bridge, walk down a long lane, and cross two fields to get to the village. The fields were surrounded by high hedges. They had stiles or steps in them that allowed people but not animals to go through. After I crossed the last stile, I went straight to the village store, made my purchase, and turned toward home. "Hetty," someone called. I turned back and saw some of Aunt Nell's cousins playing on their doorstep. "Can you stay and play?" "Well," I hesitated. The sun was still high in the sky. It wouldn't hurt to stay a little while. "Okay," I said, "but not long." Not long turned into too long. The sun was getting low in the sky when I started back to Aunt Nell's. I crossed the first field just fine. But as I entered the second field, the fog came rolling in. I walked around and around the field, but I couldn't find the stile. Finally, I stopped and stood shivering in the thick, damp fog. My father's words echoed in my head. "Don't forget to say your prayers." I knew I needed Heavenly Father's help, but how could I pray to Him after I'd been disobedient? I knelt in the wet grass. "Heavenly Father," I whispered, "I'm sorry I've been forgetting to say my prayers, and I'm sorry I stayed too long in the village, but please help me find my way." Just then, a horrible "ee-ah" sounded right by my ear. Terrified, I leaped up and stumbled away from that awful noise, and there, right in my path, was a stile. In an instant, I climbed up and over it. Then I ran down the lane, heading straight for a lantern bobbing towards me. It was Aunt Nell. I threw myself into her arms. "There, there," she soothed, and she took me home. That night, I knelt and thanked Heavenly Father for helping me, and I promised to never again forget to pray. The sun was out the next morning. I asked Aunt Nell to go for a walk with me. We crossed the bridge, walked down the lane, and came to the stile. I took a deep breath and climbed it. As I reached the top, I looked down into the field and saw the answer to my prayer. There, tethered near the bottom of the stile, was a donkey. I laughed. "What is it?" Aunt Nell asked. "Oh, I'm just happy," I answered. And I was. I'd found out for sure that Heavenly Father loves me and answers prayers. Sometimes in unexpected ways, He might even use a donkey to do it. Sidebar, isn't it marvelous, brothers and sisters, that God, who knows everything, still spends time listening to our prayers? By Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, from an October 2000 General Conference address. End of sidebar. End of article, Unexpected Answer, by Allison L. Randall. Making Friends, a